The following program is a presentation of the FlyPod New Media Network, www.theflypod.com.
Hello, and welcome to the Did You Know Show. I am your host, Alex Parnuk, and together we'll attempt to resolve some of the most complex problems on the planet, but in a very common sense sort of way, something that seems to be sorely missing in this age of media information overload. In doing this show, one would ask, why have I committed myself to this task? The plain and simple answer is, I want to get information to you that seems to be missing and not provided in the old media. So join me in the show through your interaction by providing comments, suggestions, and if necessary, criticism when you don't agree. You can contact me at shout@theflypod.com. Today, I continue my series discussing the executive branch of the federal government and specifically that department known as the Department of Labor. One would ask, why in heaven's name would you pick this department for special consideration? Well, it's a combination of two things. It's history, it's burdensome mission, and place as a department that could stand some serious trimming. Today, our free market society stands on the edge of either collapsing or changing gears, thereby heading full throttle into the 21st century, and the Department of Labor could be that leader in making significant changes that would forecast a bright and fruitful future for these United States of America. In its early growth, the department or bureau, as it was designated, was nothing more than a collection of statistics relating to employment as early as 1884. In 1913, there was legislation passed establishing the actual Department of Labor, and under President Woodrow Wilson, we would see a department that expanded from just statistics to recognition of worker rights relating to the Federal Workers' Compensation Act passed in 1916. And further emphasized by subsequent legislation passed between then and now. During those early times, starting with President Woodrow Wilson's progressive views of our institutions, which were paramount in evolving this department into not just labor statistics, but also immigration, naturalization, workers' rights, and child labor, so on and so forth. In 1921, we see the first Women's Workers Bureau established, and then the Labor Railway Act of 1926 creates the first Mediations Board, the forerunner of the FLRA, or Federal Labor Relations Authority, which today is a standalone executive federal agency created under Title VII of the Civil Service Reform Act of 1978. But that will have to be another Did You Know show. At another time in my continuing attempt to provide you, the listener, with information about our federal government bureaucracy and specifically in this series, the executive branch. It seems, and I believe, is substantiated by the historical record that the nature of government is to grow, and that is exactly what happened. And today, we have an organization, the Department of Labor, that encompasses 21 separate and distinct offices and bureaus that involve themselves in the workings of our economy and the relationships between employers and employees. Returning to the present day, I start with a recital of the department's own mission statement. I quote from its website, the mission statement of the Department of Labor, to foster, promote, and develop the welfare of the wage earners, job seekers, and retirees of the United States, improve working conditions and unique opportunities for profitable employment, and assure work-related benefits and rights. As in the past, I've interjected with historic comment, I feel today again is an opportune time to return to the simplicity and straightforwardness of our Constitution, especially the long sentence, I call it. I reflect on that unique and very understandable first sentence of the preamble to our very own Constitution. I quote, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity." Quite a mouthful, but full of direction and uncomplicated meaning. That one phrase, promote the general welfare. Well, the Department of Labor got it partially right. I quote again from its own mission statement, foster, promote, and develop. Gee, I recall promote in the preamble, but I do not see foster and develop. Seems the department has gone off on a tangent and become involved in items not addressed in the preamble. But I digress. Let's take a look at this Department of Labor, what it's made of and what it does. The DOL is organizationally set up in such a way as to facilitate the mission and function of the various bureaus, offices, and agencies. At the top is the office of the secretary and deputy, and then on an even par with the secretary, there are three standalone boards: an administrative board, a benefit review board, and an employee compensation appeals board. And then there are also three offices: the Office of Public Relations, the Office of Administrative Law Judges, and Office of the Ombudsman for Energy Employees Occupational Illness Programs. And finally, a Center for Faith-Based and Neighborhood Participation Partnerships. Now, that's quite an impressive collection at the top of the DOL pyramid. The three boards' primary function is to issue final agency decisions regarding specifically to cases arising out of disputes relating to various laws, including worker protection provisions, child labor, discrimination, etc., and is administered by the Office of the Administrative Law Judges. The remaining functions described previously, such as the Executive Secretary and the Public Relations Office, are just functions of the Department of Labor to assist the Secretary of Labor, and the remaining pieces of the top puzzle are the Ombudsman for the Energy Employees Occupational Illness Compensation Program, which is a standalone office within the Department of Labor, but only addresses issues relating to Energy Employees Occupational Illness Program Act. Now, lastly, we have the Center for Faith-Based and Neighborhood Partnership. And yes, this is one of those little hidden-away places in the bureaucracy of government where grants are available. Remember that word, grants, again? And the divvying out of money to those in the know of writing grants. Let me just stop here for a moment and give you just a sampling of the grants available through this agency or previously issued out. First, there is $500 million available in community grant money to expand job training through local partnerships. Then there is $12 million available targeting female ex-offenders. Now, I was going to stop here, but then while scrolling down the list of recent grants, it just kept going and going. Well, I at least could give the folks a final figure, and that's what I did. I came up with $3,870 million worth of grants. Did I say money laundering? That chump change sure hires a lot of bureaucrats and their assistants. Now, below this hierarchy of leadership and support, there are 21 additional separate unique groups performing the many varied functions of the Department of Labor. First, let's start with the offices, as they are called, within the sub-branching of DOL, 11 in total. We have the Office of Congressional and Intergovernmental Affairs. We have the Office of the Assistant Secretary for Administration and Management, the Office of the Chief Financial Officer, the Officer of the Solicitor, the Officer of the Public Affairs, the Assistant Secretary for Policy, the Officer for Federal Contract Compliance Programs, the Office for Labor Management Programs, Worker Compensation Programs, the Office of Disability Employment Policy, and lastly, yes, the Office of the Inspector General. Now we branch off to the administrations in this hierarchy, and which are four: Employee Benefits Security Administration, Employment and Training Administration, Occupational Safety and Health Administration, Mine Safety and Health Administration, and then the bureaus: the Women's Bureau, the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and the Bureau of International Labor Affairs. Let me get back to this Bureau of Labor Statistics. Great data. If you want to find out something about who's doing what in the Labor Department, Labor Statistics is the place to go. However, I looked to see if I could find that marvelous little ratio of managers to worker bees, and guess what? Couldn't find that one. Now, rounding out the group, we have the Pension Benefit Guarantee Corporation, the Wage and Hour Division, this is the worker bees in the agency, and the Veterans Employment and Training Service. After seeing this Veterans Service within the Department of Labor, I wonder just what does it do that the other departments don't do and that Veterans Administration does. So I went to the Veterans Employment and Training Service site within the DOL, and what I found was another bureaucratic chart with an assistant secretary who answers to the Secretary of Labor. And yes, my friends, this is another appointed position that needs to be confirmed by the Senate, and I'm sure he makes some serious dollars as an exempted higher-grade employee, also with quite a staff on hand. Now, under this secretary, we have two deputy secretary, assistant secretaries, one for operations and management, and another for policy. Then under these two positions are the chief of staff, an executive assistant, and what is called a military fellow. I never did figure out what that was. Next, we have under the direct line of command from the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Operations and Management, we have a Director for Office of Field Operations, the Director of National Programs, the Director of Admin and Budget, and his Deputy Director, a Director of Office of Performance and Evaluations, and a Director of Compliance, then a Director for Grants and Transitions. And lastly, there are regional administrators for the cities of Boston, Philadelphia, Atlanta, Chicago, Dallas, and San Francisco. And then we turn to the Deputy Assistant Secretary for Policy, under whom is the Director of Office of Strategic Outreach and Strategic Outreach Specialist. Now tell me, could I not have been describing any other bureaucratic group in the government? I mean, they just multiply all the time. Well, that's how this Department of Labor is organized and how it functions in a nutshell, just like any other bureaucracy. They are supposed to make sure that the labor force is working. They are supposed to protect worker rights. Well, that's not quite what this plethora of bureaucracies does. Going back to the government's own website, we see that their summary of what the DOL does is somewhat different. They focus on the enforcement and administration of more than 180 federal laws. These laws entail wages and hours of employment. They concern themselves with workplace safety and health. They deal in workers' compensation, employee benefits. Additionally, they oversee employee protections such as the whistleblower statutes, employment and reemployment rights, garnishing of wages, the Family Leave Act, veterans' preferences, government contracts, migrant and seasonal employment, plant closing and layoffs. So you see that the DOL has its fingers in all of these aspects of the employee-employer association. What it's called is micromanaging the marketplace, which at one time was the free marketplace. Now, returning to my thoughts back to the beginning of this podcast, the Department of Labor emphasized in its mission statement the import of retirees. I recall those words now, to foster, promote, and develop the welfare of the wage earners, job seekers, and retirees. In my research and delving into the bowels of the Department of Labor, I did not recall much emphasis as to fostering, promoting, or developing the welfare of retirees. I went back in my research notes and found only one aspect of the Department of Labor's mission, which was the Employees Benefits Security Administration, under the auspices of the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, that might in some form or fashion assist us retirees. I then returned to the organizational chart for the Department of Labor, and specifically the Employee Benefits Security Administration, and looked for someone or some aspect of that administration that would help us retirees. Now, their mission statement talked about, and I quote, assure the security of the retirement, health, and other workplace-related benefits of the America's workers and their families. I then looked through all of the offices and positions descriptions, and sadly, there was not much emphasis on retirement. Much about health care, but not much about retirement. One would think that this aspect as the retirement, which was one-third of the mission statement group, apparently got left behind, or maybe they just assumed that Social Security would take care of that. Now, another aspect of this department's loss of mission direction is the Bureau of International Labor Affairs. This Bureau of International Labor Affairs indicated from their mission statement that the ILAB, as it's commonly referred to, leads the U.S. Department of Labor's effort to ensure that workers around the world are treated fairly and are able to share in the benefits of the global economy. This is just another example of the federal bureaucracy delving into areas that should not be within their purview. The department should be concerning itself as to American workers, not workers around the world. This bureau is a contradiction of the department's own mission statement, forgetting completely the part which reads, of the United States. One of the primary reasons I stated that this department could be on a forefront of a new approach to labor was due to the reality of the many changes needed to this department. Just some of the examples that I have highlighted would make for a more streamlined department and then some serious weeding out of the unnecessary portions and placing more emphasis on American workers and helping the United States return to a more free marketplace economy unhampered by laws and regulations. Well, that's it for the Department of Labor. And I sure hope that you have a better understanding of what the executive branch of the federal government involves itself in, especially this Department of Labor. Well, until next time in our next Did You Know show, keep your powder dry and your silver coins in your pocket.